Okay, today's daf is Baba Kama daf Nun Vav. We left off Nun Hey Amid Beis at the two dots on the first wide line, which is five lines up from the bottom of the Amid. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children, and Leila Nishmas's mother, Golda Basimcha La Shalom. It's also sponsored by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Aslacha for our soldiers and captives. We thank both sponsors very much for their sponsorship of the shiur. So yesterday we began the sixth parak of the Masechta. We began learning the halachas about somebody who brings sheep into an enclosure, whether the person is going to be liable if the sheep escape and then do damage. So the short of the daf yesterday was, or the punchline was, that if the person locks the gate properly, which we defined as locking the gate so that it is able to withstand a ruach mitsuya, so that it's effective in most scenarios, even though it may not be effective in all scenarios. If it would be effective in most scenarios, then you're going to be patur, because as Rashi explained, my havelei lemeva, there's nothing else that you could have done. You locked the gate, you did your job, and therefore you're going to be patur if the sheep escape and ultimately do damage. What we saw yesterday in the Gemara was that if from here we proved that by a muad, and the damage caused by the sheep was shein and regel, and we saw that shein and regel is considered, an animal is considered to be muad, legabe shein and regel, that by shein and regel, what we call a shmira pechusa is enough. It's enough to guard it in a way that works most of the time, even though it doesn't necessarily work all of the time. We do not need what's called a shmira meula. We don't need a shmira that would be effective in every hypothetical scenario. We're not going to go that far. Today, we're going to talk about a couple of things in the daf. The first thing we're going to talk about is four things that if a person does them, he's what's called pater midine anda adam v'chaya bedine shemayim. In other words, there's no way we could hold him liable in a court of law, but the guy doesn't really act properly, and therefore he's going to be chayav b'dinei shamayim. He's going to be chayav in some respect. What exactly that means, we're going to see. We're going to see what these four categories of of acts are. The reason that this is brought down here is because one of the things for which a person is pater b'dinei adam v'chayav b'dinei shamayim is what happens if a person goes over to the pen of his friend, where the friend's animals are, and he breaches a hole in the gate. He makes a hole in the gate. So is that person going to be chayev, or is that person not going to be chayev? So we're going to talk all about that. And then we are going to talk about, at the bottom of Nun Vav Amabez, over to Nun Vav Amabez, we're going to talk about what the Mishnah said, that if listim open up a breach in the fence, then the listim are going to be pater. However, if the listim actually take the sheep out, then the listim are going to be chayiv. And the Gemara is going to say, of course, if the listim take the sheep out, they're going to be chayiv. Because when they take the sheep out, they're kona the sheep. And now when the sheep does damage, it's the sheep belonging to the listim, because there's a kinyan and there's shini rishus. So of course the listim is going to be chayiv. Of course the bandit is going to be chayiv. And we're going to see what exactly the chiddush is. The Gemara is then going to cover the concept that was mentioned in the Mishnah of what happens if a person hands over his sheep, he entrusts his sheep to a roeh, to a shepherd. So the shepherd is going to step into the shoes of the owner. And then we're going to see whether a shepherd can further entrust his own apprentice with guarding the sheep. Is this connected to the halacha of shomer shemasar l'shomer? Let's say I give you something of mine to watch. Are you allowed to give it to somebody else to watch and pass the liability on to the other person, to the third person? Or do you remain on the hook because I entrusted you with the object and not a third person? And then hopefully at the very bottom of the yamid, hopefully we'll get to it. It's an interesting topic. We're going to talk about a shomer aveda, somebody who finds an aveda and he's watching the aveda. And is he considered to be like a shomer chinam, or is he considered to be like a shomer sachar? And what is the svara to hold both ways? So says the Gemara Navaiter. Again, we left off Nunay Meveiz, five lines up from the bottom of the page. First wide line, two dots, Tanya. So Amar Rav Yeshua. So Arba Dvarim Oso Osam Pater Medina Adam V'Chayav Bedinei Shamayim. There are four things that if a person does them, he is Pater Medina Adam V'Chayav Bedinei Shamayim. So there is a machlokas, because he is Chayav Bedinei Shamayim, what happens even though the guy is Pater Medina Adam, what happens if the Nizuk, if the person who incurred the damage, goes over and is Tofes and grabs payment from the Mazik? Do we say, Im Tafas Lo Mafkinan? that we don't force him to return the payment, because even though he's pater b'dinei adam, it's chai b'dinei shemayim, therefore there's obviously some sort of liability here. And if the person wanted to exercise some vigilante justice and he wanted to go collect that which he feels he's owed, we are not going to make him return the payment that he sees. Or do we say, no, im tafas mafkina, and if he goes and grabs it, he has to return it, because after all, the halacha is that he's pater b'dinei adam, and that he's only chayiv b'dinei, and that he's only chayiv b'dinei shamayim. So that is going to be, that is a machlokas rishonim, in fact, whether he has to return the thing that he took or not. Rashi says the ein motzim yado, that he doesn't have to give it back, but the Rivash says that even if he grabs something, we take it back from him, because the halach is pater b'dinei adam. Yes, he's chay b'dinei shemayim, but he's going to be pater b'dinei adam. Now Rashi over here clues us in, why would he be pater b'dinei adam? Because all of the things that we're going to mention are where you don't directly cause damage. You don't directly, your act doesn't directly result in the damage, but rather it's more causative. And Rashi points out, Kasavar Grumma Benazikin Pater, because the things that are mentioned here are going to be really Grumma Benazikin, it's going to be causative damages and not direct damages. So because it's causative damages, Rashi says that this is going according to the Mandi Amar, who says that Grumma the Nezikin is Pater. I thought we hold that Grumma Nezikin is Pater. So what does Rashi say, Kesavar, that we thought? Because it turns out Rashi in other places actually believed that Grumma Nezikin might be Chayiv. So that's why Rashi says that this whole sugya is going according to the Madim, where it says Grumma Nezikin is Pater. Okay, so we've introduced the concept of Pater B'dinei Adam, Chayiv B'dinei Shemayim. What that means, are you allowed to grab payment nevertheless? Machlokas Rishonim. Great, we know that we're talking about Grumma. What are the examples? If a person opens up a breach in the fence that belongs to his friend and allows the behemos to escape, so he didn't do anything physically directly, he didn't take the behemos out, but he facilitated, he caused the behemos to have the ability to leave the enclosure. And a person who bends over the produce of his friend and brings it closer to a fire, and a person hires false witnesses to testify, the Gemara is going to be bothered. Well, that sounds not like a causative act. That sounds like you're actually a bad guy. Like you're actually trying to manipulate the legal system. So we're going to get to that. And if a person knows edus that might help his friend, and he does not testify. Okay, so says the Gemara now, explaining these four categories. The first in this category is that if a person opens up a hole in the wall of the enclosure of his friend and allows a behemoth to escape. Says the Gemara, Hechidami ilima b'kol solbari, if we're talking where the wall was a perfectly good wall, then b'dinei adam nami min chayev, then he should be chayev for breaking the wall. In other words, forget about that he's not going to take on liability if the animal leaves the enclosure and causes damage, because, yeah, he didn't take the animal out of the enclosure, but why would this guy be pater b'dinei adam? If I have a fence around my house, and you come over to my fence, and you breach a hole in my fence, and you have to pay me for my fence, because it's a perfectly good fence. So why isn't he chayev for the fence? Rashi and Tosfos both point out that we're obviously asking that he should be chayev for the fence, for the wall, not that he should be chayev for the behemoth. Why? Because Tosfos points out that in our Mishnah, we have said if you have a robber who comes and makes a hole in the fence, and then an animal leaves, the robber is going to be pater. So if the robber is going to be pater for damage caused to the behemoth, certainly you are going to be pater for damage that the behemoth causes. But the Gemara's question is, why are you pater b'dinei adam lagabe the fence? You should have to pay for the wall. So says the Gemara, Ella, turning to Nunvavam and Aleph, Bekotel Ru'uah. We're talking about a situation where the wall is going to, where the wall is rotten. And therefore, Rashi points out, he didn't really cause him any loss because this wall had to be taken down anyway. So you're going to ask, the guy should be chayav for the wall. He didn't really cause any damage because the wall was going to fall down anyway. So that's the scenario. The scenario is that you're pater b'dinei adam, but you're chayav b'dinei shemayim. In other words, you're not a good guy. It's not a good thing to do, but there's not going to be any monetary liability because all you did was you damaged the wall that was going to fall down imminently anyway. Amar Mar, says Mar, the second in this category, Hakofef kamasa shal chaver b'fnei adleika. If a person bends the produce of his field and brings it closer to a fire, zeichadami. So what situation are we talking about here? Ilema demati leberuach betsuya. If he bends it in a certain direction, and because he bent it, if a ruach metzuya comes, if a typical wind comes, now blows the fire in the direction of the produce, the fire burns and consumes the produce because this guy bent the produce in that direction, then b'dini adam nan nichayev, then he should be chayev for that situation. He should be chayev for that situation also. Tosfos says he should be chayev for that situation because it's obvious that if I take a fire and I bring a fire to your field, I'm going to be chayev for bringing a fire to your field. So if I bring your produce to the fire, it should have the same halacha as if I bring the fire to your produce. And that's why if I bend over your produce in a way so that if a typical wind comes, it can now damage your produce, what I've done is I have brought your produce to the fire. That's like bringing the fire to the produce, says Tosfos. Therefore, I should be chayiv. Says the Gemara, Ela demati baruach sheina metsuya. Now, we're obviously talking about a case where he bent the produce in a certain way. Then an unusual wind came, a hurricane force wind came, and blew the fire in that direction. So there's no way that I could have foreseen that a hurricane force wind was going to come, but because ultimately the reason that your produce was damaged was because I bent it in that direction, I'm going to be chayiv b'dinei shemayim, even though I'm going to be potur b'dinei adam. Rav Ashi yamar tamun itmar. Rav Ashi says, no, we're dealing with a case of tamun, mishum deshavya tamun be'esh, because I make it a situation where it's tamun. So tamun be'esh is a concept that we saw all the way in the beginning of the Masechta. We're going to revisit it later in the Masechta. But there is a concept called tamun, meaning that if I'm chayev for esh, if I introduce fire to your property, I'm chayev only for things that are exposed. I'm not chayev for things that are hidden. So it turns out that this fellow saw that there was a fire that was threatening his neighbor's property. So he thought he was being helpful, we're going to see later in the Gemara, by covering the produce that was in the fellow's property, because he thought he was saving the produce from the fire. He thought he was protecting it. But it turns out that because he covered it, now when the fire comes and burns the whole field, the Bala Eish is not going to be chayiv to pay for the produce because the produce was tamun, and the Bala Eish doesn't have to pay for that which is tamun. So even though he had good intentions, he's going to be potter b'dinei adam, he's still going to be chayiv b'dinei shamayim. Says the Gemara in Avaitar at the two dots. Amar Mara, Socher Eide Sheker Hechadami. The third in this category is a person who hires false witnesses. Elay Milanafshe, if the guy hires false witnesses for himself, the Mamone Boy Shlume, he's gaming the justice system. He is manipulating the court, and therefore he's going to be chayef to pay directly because he's causing the damage directly by hiring false witnesses to testify on his own behalf. Ubedini adam nami l'chayev, says the Gemara, ela l'chavre. We're dealing with a situation where he hired false witnesses on behalf of his friend, and therefore it's not sort of direct because he doesn't benefit from it, but he's causing a manipulation of the justice system. In other words, he's causing a third party to ultimately be liable to his friend. Tosfos says, we're dealing with a case where his friend didn't have any money to pay these false witnesses with, or where the friend went to Medina Sayyam and he otherwise had no way of hiring these witnesses. And Tosfos further points out that the only time the guy's going to be chayiv b'dinei shamayim is where he actually pays the witnesses to testify. If he tells the witnesses to testify without paying them, then he's not going to be chayiv. Why? Because nobody does anything for free. So says Tosfos, if he only tells the witnesses to testify falsely, he could reasonably believe that the witnesses are not going to listen to him. It's only when he actually hires them, when he actually pays them, he knows that they are going to listen to him, and therefore at that point, he is going to be chayiv b'dinei shamayim. Says the Gemara, the fourth in this category is Vayodea Edus Lachavero Venameyadlo. If a person knows testimony that would assist his friend but doesn't testify on his behalf. Says the Gemara Bamayaskinan, Ilim Bebetre, if this guy could form a kat of Edim, can form a group of Edim and testify in a group of two Edim, then Pshita Daraisa. This is an Isser Daraisa. Imlo Yagid Venasa Avono. The Torah says you're not allowed to withhold testimony. So now this Gemara tells me that if I'm withholding testimony, I'm Potter B'dinei Adam and I'm Chayav B'dinei Shamayim. No, I'm not. I'm a Rasha. I'm violating an Aveira in the Torah. Ela B'chad that, no, we're dealing with a case where there is no other aid. So in other words, I would be an aid echad. So with an aid echad, I wouldn't be able to be mosi mamon anyway, and therefore, by my withholding the testimony, I'm not going to be chayiv dinei adam, because I wouldn't be able to assist him really anyway, but I'm chayiv dinei shemayim, because really I'm not doing the right thing. The Torah told me I'm not supposed to withhold testimony, and I withheld testimony. So the Gemara gave a list of four things for which a person is potter b'dinei adam and chayiv b'dinei shemayim. Now the Gemara is going to ask why a whole host of other things aren't included in this general category of potter b'dinei adam and chayiv b'dinei shemayim. Va'ika v'suleka, are there no other categories? Are there no other items in this category? Rather, va'ika osa malacha b'mechatas, there's, what about a person who does malacha with the mechatas ubaparas chatas? There is an isser that you're not allowed to do malacha with the mechatas until after it is sprinkled. Until you put the afar in the mechatas, that's what Tosfa says. And if you do it and you ruin the mechatas, if you do malacha with the mechatas or with the paras chatas and you ruin it, then potter b'dini adam v'chay b'dini shemayim. So we know the halacha is that you're potter b'dini adam. Why? Because you ruin the mechatas. But says Rashi, it's hezek shein and nikar, because there's no way to discern that you did malacha with the mechatas. Therefore, hezek shein and nikar, it's lav shmei hezek, and therefore you're not going to be chay b'dini adam. It's potter b'dini adam, but you're going to be chay b'dini shemayim. So why isn't a person who does malacha with the mechatas or the afar chatas on this list of four for which we said pater b'dini adam v'chay b'dini shemayim va'ika nosen sama mavetz v'vnei b'emes chaveiro pater b'dini adam v'chay b'dini shemayim. What about a person who puts poison in front of the b'em of his friend? He's going to be pater b'dini adam and he's going to be chayiv and he's going to be chayiv b'dini shemayim. So va'ika shaleach hasabei rabbi atcherushot of a katan pater b'dini adam v'chay b'dini shemayim. What about if a person sends a fire in the hands of a cherushot of a katan, somebody who's incompetent to watch the thing? He's going to be pater b'dini adam, but he's b'chay b'dini shemayim. Va'ika hamavis es chaveiro, if a person frightens his friend and causes him damage, pater b'dini adam v'chay b'dini shemayim. Again, same halacha. The Rashi explains the reason that he's pater b'dini adam is because he didn't do a maisa with his guf. Rashi explains that we're talking about a situation where a person goes over to his friend and just yells in his ear, or he blows a shofar in his ear. So he startles him, and then he causes him damage. It's not like talking about a situation where he slugs him in his ear, because then he's actually performing damage physically with his body. That's direct damage. We're dealing with a situation where the person never touches the other fellow, and therefore it's sort of only causative. But the halacha is he's pater b'dinei adam and he's chayev b'dinei and he's going to be chayev b'dinei shemayim. So says the Yad Ramah explains, not like Rashi, that the reason that the fellow is pater is because the other fellow contributes to his own damage. How does the other fellow contribute to his own damage? Because what he could have done is he could have moved his head and he could have avoided being directly exposed to the loud noise, because he decided he's going to continue standing up straight like this and put his ear in the line of fire, in the line of this loud noise. Therefore, the person whose hearing was damaged was partially responsible for the damage as well. But again, this is another situation where the halacha is pater b'dini adam v'chay b'dini shemayim. Va'ika nishparakada b'rshus harabim v'lo silka naflu gamlo v'lo hemida. Rameir mechayev ba'zeikan, that if, let's say, your barrel breaks or your camel falls in rshus harabim and you don't clear the debris, so Rameir says, if somebody trips over that debris, you're going to be chayev. Why? Because it's your stuff. You should have gotten it out of rshus harabim. V'chachamim omrim pater b'dini adam v'chayev b'dini shemayim. So why aren't all these other things on the list? Why do you give me a list of four? We just gave four more things where you're pater b'dini adam v'chay b'dini shemayim. Says the Gemara, in Mia Ikatuva, there were a lot of examples. That's not an exhaustive list either. V'hani itzrichale. These four things in the category of pater b'dini adam v'chay b'dini shemayim, these are special because there is a chiddush associated with each of them. So ma adatem b'dini shemayim nami lo b'l'chayiv kamash b'lon. Because I might think that you would not even be chayiv b'dinei shemayim, and therefore the chiddush is that you are chayiv b'dinei shemayim. Why would I think that I would not be chayiv b'dinei shemayim? We're going to see right away in the Gemara. But before that, Tosfos says, "Bim Tomar Avol." Tosfos Devar Maska Ba Avol. Bim Tomar. I know since some Amavas Nami Chidashu. Let me think. Darmino El Dafilu some Amavas Lo Avidid Achla Chayv Dinei Shemayim. That also by some Amavas there's a Chidash that I'm Chayv Dinei Shemayim. Why would there be a Chidash that I'm Chayv Dinei Shemayim? That seems pretty nasty to me. If I put poison in front of your animal, that's, I'm not like a good guy. I'm not winning like a good neighbor award for doing that. So says Tosfos, because I should not have assumed that your animal is going to eat poison unless I disguise the poison in dog food or something. Then maybe I would be a bad guy. But absent that, maybe I might think that there's no way the animal would eat the poison. It has the poison symbol on it, so the animal's smart. V'shema ain't kol kach chiddush. And Tosfos says, nah, maybe there's not such a chiddush. In other words, why should I assume the animal's not going to eat poison? The animal doesn't know that it has the poison control hotline number on it, so of course he's going to eat it. And therefore, it's only the four things that are mentioned in our Braisa that are real chiddushim. Why is it a chiddush that I'm putter, that I'm chayav dinei shamayim? Says the Gemara as follows. Haboreis geder b'fnei behemas chaveiro. If a person breaches a fence in an enclosure in which his friend's animal is staying, so I might think that since the wall has to be torn down anyway, because we have already established that we're dealing with a situation where the kotel is a kotel re'ua, it's a rotten kotel, it's a kotel which is falling down. Because if it was a kotel bari, if it was a strong kotel, a healthy kotel, then I would be chaya for breaking the wall. So we've already established it's a kotel re'ua. So ma'avid, so what did he do? So bedina shemayim, nami lo v'chayiv. He shouldn't be chayiv, even bedina shemayim. Kamash malon, no, he is chayiv. Because even though it was a kotel re'ua, who said it was going to fall down right away? And therefore, you are going to be chayiv bedina shemayim. Second case, akofev kamoso shel chaveiro, nami. If a person bends his friend's produce in the direction of a fire, also it's a chiddush. Again, we had established that we're talking about where a ruach sheina metzuya, a hurricane force wind, the strong wind comes. Because if a regular wind came, of course the guy would be chayiv. Because what's the difference whether he brings the produce to the fire or he brings the fire to the produce? So we were dealing with a ruach sheina metzuya that comes. How's he supposed to know that a ruach sheina metzuya is going to come? And therefore, I might think he's also not chayiv dinei shamayim. Kamash malon, he is going to be chayiv. Ula Ravashi demar nami tamanit mar. And according to Ravashi, who says, no, the reason for the chiyuv is because the guy hid the produce under something. And even though he intended to save the produce, because he hid it, now he made the Bala Eish going to be putter to pay for the produce, because the Bala Eish is putter betaman. So ma the tema na kesuya kesise nilech. I might think the guy is a taina. Why should I be chayav b'dinei shamayim? All I was trying to do was assist you by covering the produce, and therefore I might think that it would be potter b'dinei shamayim. Kamash malan is going to be chayav b'dinei shamayim. Says Tosfos over here, Dibra Maskel Kesuye, Kesuye Kesise, Vim Tomar, Golib Yadua Lamakom, Lamanas Kavein, Im Latova, Im Lara. Why is the guy going to be chayav b'dinei shamayim? In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows. Did the guy cover the produce with the intent, oh, now I'm going to mess over my neighbor because the Bala Eish is not going to be chayv and tamun? Or did the guy cover the produce because he was being a good guy and thought he was putting a barrier up in front of the fire? So says the Gemara, says Tosfos rather, V'yesh lomar, tafilu b'miskavim letoba shelo yimahar lisro v'yachal lahotzi balabayis betokach mikomok amedine shemayim nami chayiv. This is why this is such a chiddush. His intentions were good. He did intend to cover it so that the fire shouldn't damage the produce of his friends, so that he would be salvaging his friend's produce. But the point is, he should have factored into the calculus the halachic overlay. Oh, but if I cover it, I know that the halacha is that Taman Beish is Potter. So he should have thought of that variable, and that's why he's going to be chayiv b'dinei shamayim. Says the Gemara Navaiter, v'asocher edei sheker nami. So why would I think that he's Potter? Why would I think he's Potter b'dinei shamayim? So ma'al d'tema lema divrei rava divrei talmud divrei mishomen b'dinei shamayim nami l'machayiv kamash malon that he is chayiv b'dinei shamayim. In other words, he might think, even if he pays the edim, why would the Edom listen to him? The Torah says not to give false testimony. So the Torah says not to give false testimony. I'm paying you to give false testimony, and you're gonna go do it. So I might think that therefore I should be potter, even b'dinei shamayim, kamash malan, that he is going to be chayiv. And if a person knows Edus that would assist his friend but doesn't testify in his behalf, nami, Also, what's the chiddush here? So mal detema mi yemar dechi havi mesedino le havi modi. Because how do I know that I'm actually causing damage? Let's say I would testify, right? Who says that the other bal din would actually admit to my testimony? Dilma havi mishabeya l'shikra ubdin ishamayim nami l'machayev kamash malon. No. That maybe, in other words, who knows that my testimony would have been effective? Because my testimony is only effective if the other baldin doesn't lie and try to get out of what I testify to. So I might think that I shouldn't be chai b'dini shemayim, because who says that my testimony is going to be effective anyway? Maybe the other guy's going to lie. Kamash malam, we don't say maybe the other guy's going to lie. Maybe he's going to be nishpal l'sheker. And therefore, if I know testimony for my friend and I don't testify, again, we're dealing with a situation where I'm an eid echad, because if I'm part of a kat of two eidim, then there's a deraisa that I have to testify. But if I know eidus and I'm an eid echad, then I might think that I incur no liability, even b'dinei shemayim, because who says that my testimony would have been efficacious? Kamash malon, yes, I am chayav b'dinei shemayim. Says the Gemara now, Viter, back to the concepts that were mentioned in the Mishnah. Nifritza b'layla osha partzua listim. If the wall broke at night, or if listim broke the wall, they are going to be potter. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabba v'hu shechasra. That's only where the sheep dug under the wall. So because then Rashi points out, then the guy's an anus. In other words, if the sheep dug under the wall, then the owner is really an anus. In other words, what's he supposed to have done that the sheep dug under the wall? He can't really prevent that. Avalo chasra mai. But if they didn't dig under the wall, so what would the halacha be? Chayiv, he's going to be chayiv. But hey, chedami, why would he be chayiv if there was a hole in the wall, the sheep didn't dig under the wall, and the sheep escaped and caused damage? Hey, chedami. Ilyema bakosal bari, if we're dealing with a case where the wall was a sturdy wall, so kilo chasra mai chayiv. And let's say the sheep didn't dig under the wall, why would the guy be chayiv? How was he supposed to know that his wall was going to fall down and be breached and allow the animals to waltz out and to do damage? So mai avalei lemevan. What should he have done? What could he have done? Ella bekotel re'ua. Now we're talking about a kotel re'ua, where the wall was damaged, it was going to fall down anyway. But then kichasra my putter. But when they dig under the wall, why is the balatzon going to be putter? Tchilasa b'pshia v'sofa ba'onesu. Even though ultimately the sheep wound up escaping by digging a tunnel under the wall, it was tchilasa b'pshia because he left his sheep in an enclosure with a rotten wall, so he knew that the wall was going to fall down. So this guy got lucky. The wall didn't actually fall down. The sheep escaped by burrowing under the wall. But still, he should be chayiv. It's chilas of b'pshia v'sofa bonus. Says the Gemara, Lamandi amar chilas of b'pshia v'sofa bonus potter. So, honey, Lamandi amar chilas of b'pshia v'sofa bonus potter. So I understand the Mishnah, according to the Mandi amar, says that chilas of b'pshia v'sofa bonus is going to be potter. Elamandi amar tchilas v'bshia v'sofa ba'ones chayiv, Michael Amemar. But according to the Mandemar who says that tchilas v'bshia v'sofa ba'ones is chayiv, what could you say? Why would the guy be potter where charsa? Why would the guy be potter where the animal dug? Tchilas v'bshia, he was a pasheya because he let his wall become a kotel re'ua. Now, we should mention that we saw Tosfos already last week, that Tosfos said that tchilas v'bshia v'sofa ba'ones is only in a scenario where the onus comes machmas hapshia, right? But if the onus is totally unrelated to the pshia, then that's not tchilas of a pshia v'sof of onus where you'd be chayiv. So what you would have to say is that the only reason the animal was able to dig under the wall is because the wall was a kotel re'ua. If the animal digging under the wall was totally independent of the wall being damaged, then that would not be a case of tchilas of a pshia v'sof of onus, according to Tosfos, because then the pshia and the onus would not be connected at all. So says the Gemara, third wide line, elamasnisim b'kotel bari. We're talking about a kotel bari, v'afilu lo charta, and even if the chatra, and even if the animal did not dig under the wall, you would be putter. V'chiyitmar derabas, in that case, why are we talking about a scenario where the animal dug under the wall? It's mashma that's the reason he's putter. No, but if the animals were enclosed in a kotel bari, and then unbeknownst to you, and surprisingly, the wall fell down, you're not going to be chayiv. There's nothing you could have done. When do we say chatra? When do we say the animal dug down? It's a seifet mar. Hinicha b'chama, if you leave the animals exposed to direct sunlight, ushamasra l'cherishot v'katan, or if you gave them, if you entrusted them in the hands of a cherishot v'katan, v'yatsa v'zika, and then they escape and they cause damage, chayev, then you're going to be chayev. Amar Rabba v'afilu chatra. So, and even if they dig under the wall, you're going to be chayev. In other words, it's pashut that if they didn't dig under the wall, if stam you gave them to a cherishot of a katan, or stam you left the animal exposed to the direct sunlight so it got super agitated, then you were a poshea for leaving the animal or exposing the animal to elements that you knew would make it crazy. Elafilu chatra nami, but even if the animal digs under the wall, you're still going to be chayev. Why? Ma'adatema havilet chlosa b'pshia v'sofa b'ones. I might think that it's considered to be tchelas of a pshia, v'sof a bonus. In other words, yes, I was negligent for giving it to a cherishot of a katan to watch, or I was negligent for exposing the animal to direct sunlight and making it agitated. But ultimately, the animal dug under the wall. What should I have done to prevent it? So I might think that that's tchelas of a pshia, v'sof a bonus. Therefore, I should be potter. K'mashman dekula pshia habe. So it's all pshia. Why is it all pshia? Says Rashi, because I should have known that when I expose the animal to the direct sunlight, I'm going to make the animal nuts. And the animal is going to try to use whatever tactic it can to escape. And therefore, I'm going to be chayev even if the animal does dig under the wall. So my time, Damarle, made the yada, tekivan, the shavkit, bechama, called tatsdeka, this leilamevad, avda, benafka. Because I should have known that since I'm exposing the animal to direct sunlight, it's going to get super agitated, and it's going to use any tactic it can to escape, and therefore I'm going to be chayev afilu chatra, even if it dug under the wall. Says the Gemara, tziya listim chayafim. If the bandits, the robbers who broke into the pen, took the animals out, and the animals do damage, then the listim are going to be chayev. Says the Gemara, pshita, because they took the animals out, they performed a kinyan on the animals. Rashi says they obviously performed a kinyan meshicha on the animals, and therefore they're going to be chayiv. Tosva says that why is this so pasha? In other words, why is it pasha that the robbers stand in place of the owner, that the robbers are now going to be chayiv if they took the animal out of the pen? And says Tosfos, it's a svara that the gazlan has to be nichnas tachas habaylim. In other words, he took the animal from the reshus habaylim, and now he's holding possession of the animal. When the animal was in possession of the owner was responsible to guard the animal. You now took possession of the animal, you're responsible to guard the animal. So says the Gemara, as explained by Tosfos, that's why it's pashut. Of course, if the robbers made a kinyan on the animal and now the animal goes out and does damage, of course the robber is going to be chayiv. Says the Gemara, lo tzricha dekama le'ba'apet. No, they never actually grabbed the animal. In other words, the robbers only stood in a certain way in the pen where the animal was trying to roam around, and the only way out was to go through the breach in the wall. So they never actually physically made a kinyan mishicha. Ki yod amar rabba, like Rabba said, amar rab masna, amar rab, hamamid behemas chavero al kamas chavero. If a person places the behemah of his friend on produce of his friend, thereby ruining the produce of his friend, chayiv, he's going to be chayiv. Mamid pshita, of course the guy's going to be chayiv. He took the animal of his friend and placed the animal on produce of his friend and caused the animal to damage the produce. He did a maisa biyadayim. Of course he's chayiv. Says the Gemara, l'tzricha dekam le'ba'apet. And he never picked up the animal. He was standing in a certain way, so he positioned his body so that the only way the animal could get somewhere was by walking on the produce of his friend. So Amar Leah Baila Rav Yosef Akisha Amar Lan. No, we're not talking about where the robbers stood there and basically caused the animal to go out a certain way, but rather where the robber struck the animal with a stick. Velustim Nami Dikishua. So both these cases where the person is Mamid Bemes Chaver Al Kamas Chaver, it doesn't mean that he just stood in place. It means that he hit the animal and caused the animal to walk onto the produce of his friend. So to the listim, they hit the animal, they caused the animal to leave. When they hit the animal, that's considered to be a kinyan. That's considered to be a form of kinyan mishicha. Says the Gemara Navaiter at the two dots, Musra laroe, nichnas haroe tachtav. If the bailim gives the sheep to a roe, to a shepherd to watch, now the roe stands in place of the bailim, the roe is going to be chayev for damage that the sheep does. So Amri Tachtav Deman. What does it mean that the Roez Niknas Tachtav? Ilema Tachtav Debal Behema, if it means that the Roez stands in the place of the Bala Behema, Tanina Chadazimna. We already know that. Masru Lashomar Kinam, Ulashoel, Ulunase Sachar. We already learned that if a person gives his animal to a watchman to watch, whether it's a Shomar Kinam, whether it's a Shoel, whether it's a Nose Sachar, whether it's a Socher, Kula Nichnasu Tachas Abailin. So of course, they all now assume responsibility for the animal because they're watching the animal. Ela tachtav de shomer. No, no, no. What it means is that if the person gives his sheep to a shepherd, if a person gives a sheep to a shomer, and the shomer gives the sheep to the shepherd, then the shepherd is going to stand in place of the shomer. So v'shomer kama iftar le lagamri. And the first shomer, the initial shomer, walks away scot-free. He's off the hook because he gave it to a shepherd to watch. So lema tave tufte de Rava, maybe this is a kasha on Rava, diyama Rava, because Rava had said, shomer shemasar le shomer chayiv. That if a shomer, if I give you something to watch and you give it to somebody else, you remain chayiv because I trusted you with the object. I didn't trust the other shomer with the object. So amalecha Rava says, Rava, no, we're misinterpreting this case. My masru le roe, what does it mean that you gave it to the roe? Levarzile, that the roe gave it to his apprentice. That it's the derech that a shepherd gives the sheep over to his apprentice to watch. So in other words, if you give a shepherd your sheep to watch, the assumption should be that the shepherd is going to give it over to his apprentice. And you can't say, oh, I never would have accepted a shvuah from his apprentice. You knew by giving it to the shepherd that he was going to give it to his apprentice. Ika damri, midiktani masro l'roe, from the fact that it says that you gave it to a roe, veloktani masro l'akar, and it doesn't say that the shomer gave it to somebody else, shmamina mai, So obviously we see that what does it mean when it says Masra la Roa? It means that the Roa gave it to his apprentice. Durcha de Roa la Mimsra la Barzilai, because that's what happens. Avala Acher lo. But if you gave it to somebody else, then maybe you would not be able to do that, meaning you would remain chayiv. Lema mesayele la Rava. That's a raya to the Shita of Rava. Diyama Rava shomer shemasa la shomer chayiv. The only time you're off the hook is when you give it to the apprentice, but if you give it to anybody else, you're going to remain chayiv. Amri lo. Dilma urcha de milsak tani vua din lacher. No. Maybe the same halacha would apply no matter who you give it to. The Gemara is just talking about what always happens. What always happens is if you give something to a shomer, if you give something to a roe, you should know that the roe is going to give it to his apprentice. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter with the two dots. Itmar, shomer aveda. If a person is watching a lost object, there is a mitzvah to watch a lost object and then to perform the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. So until you can find the owner, you're responsible for watching the object. Rabba Omer Keshomer Chinam. Rabba says that you're like a Shomer Chinam and therefore you're going to be Chayiv only in Pshia, only if you were negligent. Rav Yosef Omer Keshomer Sachar Dami. Rav Yosef says you're like a Shomer Sachar, you're like a paid Sachar, you're like a paid Shomer, and therefore you're going to be Chayiv not only on Pshia, but also on Gnei Neva and Aveda. Rabba Amar Kashomer Chinam Dami, because Mayana Kamatile. Rabba says that you're like a Shomer Chinam, because are you getting paid for watching this lost object? No. So then you're like a Shomer Chinam, you're Chayiv only in Pshia. Rav Yosef Amar Kashomer Sachar Dami. That Rav Yosef says, no, you're like a Shomer Sachar. Why? Because the Hana that you get, that if an Ani comes to your house and knocks on the door and a Mashulach comes, you're not going to have to give him money because you're busy watching the animal, that's the benefit that you get, and therefore you're like considered to be a Shomer Sachar, and therefore you're going to be Chayav even in Gnev and Aveda. Tosos over here says that this is from the concept of Oseik B'mitzvah, Pater Min HaMitzvah. Now, from the way we say the words in this phrase, Oseik B'mitzvah, Pater Min HaMitzvah, Tosos is Medayek, that the only time you're actually going to be Pater from performing the other mitzvah is when you're actually being Oseik in the mitzvah. In other words, not only that you have the Aveda in your house, but you're actually busy tending to the Aveda, and that's why you're going to be absolved from giving money to the Ani. Because if it's Stam, I have a mitzvah in my house, therefore I don't have to do any other mitzvahs. So we all wear tefillin, so we're all going to put on tefillin in a minute, and therefore, I'm Pater from everything. We all have a mezuzah in our house. So I don't have to do any mitzvahs in my house because I have a mezuzah. No, it's only Oseik B'mitzvah. It's not Mekayim mitzvah. Now, that's why Rav Yosef says he's like a Shomer Sachar, because he might get away without having to give tzedakah. Rabba says, what are the odds that an Ani is actually going to come? And therefore, he's considered to be a Shomer Chinam. Ika de mafarshi hachi. Others explain like this. Rav Yosef amar kashamar sachar dami. Rav Yosef says it's like kashamar sachar. Why? Kivan derachmana shabdi bal korche ilka kashamar sachar dami. Because the Torah said, there's a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. The Torah says, I have to watch this. I'm getting a mitzvah by watching it. And because I'm getting a mitzvah, that's ki'ilu my payment. And therefore, I'm not a shomer chinam. I am more like a shomer sachar. And therefore, a meshav aveda is going to be chayiv even for Geneva and Aveda. We'll leave off here by the parentheses, by the simon. Meirenu is flying back from L.A. overnight. So he is going to come straight from the plane and give the daf tomorrow. It's been a pleasure learning with everybody. Have a wonderful day.